freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
The
government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves! A bunch of slaves!
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and this is Anti-Media Radio. It is November the 12th, 2015. If you are looking for an alternative to the corporate media's agenda, if you are looking for something different than the rhetoric that you hear over and over come across your television screens, you are in the right place this evening. A few stats that we like to start at the beginning of every program with that the corporate media neglects to tell its viewers is we have so far in 2015 seen 1,030 Americans killed by police officers. The reverse of that stat is we've already seen 109 officers that have died in the line of duty. The city of Chicago with strict gun laws, something that Obama and Eric Holder had said that he would like to see patterned across the rest of the United States, has seen 2,640 people shot so far in 2015 and 443 homicides. And America's great staunch ally, Saudi Arabia, 151 executions so far this year, majority of those by beheading. Joined in the studio tonight, Mr. Kevin Knight. He joined us a couple of times on the show. Kevin, how are you doing tonight, sir?
It's good to be here again. Thank you.
And the wonderful, immaculate, fantastic producer, as always, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, how's it going, sir?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful now that I had a cup of your coffee. Mr. Gibson makes an excellent cup of coffee, I might add.
Oh, I messed up.
So, yeah, there is a lot going on in the news this week. Some huge news that we didn't get to on Tuesday that we're going to cover in detail tonight. The 2016 NDAA has passed both the House and the Senate and is awaiting Obama's approval. He has already vetoed it once in late October, but the White House is insinuating that they will sign it this time. We'll get into that just here in a little bit. We've also seen the Saudi coalition in Yemen has bombed over 100 hospitals and clinics since March, and the conflict that's going on in Yemen, again, wonderful ally, targeting bombing hospitals. The United States, as we know from October, did the exact same thing in Afghanistan. And your televisions may be keeping track of you and selling that information to advertisers.
Now, we've actually spoke about this on the show before. Apparently now we have more television manufacturers have been found out, as it were. And I would expect to see this in just about every single smartphone and television and so on and so forth for the remainder of our days. Again, our Fourth Amendment's gone anyways. At this point, I don't think we should be shocked or surprised. And, of course, it's all under the guise of consumerism.
Oh, yeah, couldn't agree more. You know, just taking a look through even your local what do we have, our electronics place down here in Hoover and Birmingham. You can only imagine how many people cross through there every single day, and how much information is collected just through their displays. Even, you know, it's something. I'm not a big Alex Jones fan, but this is one of the things I do remember that he's been you know, forever going on and on about. And, you know, it seems like it was just yesterday when you first heard that this new technology was actually going somewhere. And now, of course, we've come to now it's almost a staple with any of your high HD or your flat screen.
Yeah, I remember when we first used to talk about this and broadcast about it. It was a really big thing. We were very emphatic. And I don't know, you read news about this now, it's like, yeah, more of the same.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, and that's really, that's dangerous. That puts us in a very dangerous territory to have that.
It's commonplace, and people are becoming lethargic to the situation. It's like, oh, that
we need to be even more upset now. And that's, you know, because apparently we weren't upset enough, and now we're just seeing it multiply more and more and more. And just like all of the rest of our
unfortunately,
sold,
it is
sold out.
Too commonplace at this point. Well, I tell you what, that's let's come back and we'll go over that in a little bit more detail. But let's talk about the top story of the week, which is the NDAA. Apparently, it will be approved by Obama. The irony to this is that Obama has insinuated that anything that does not allow for Guantanamo to be closed down, he will veto. But this $607 billion bill will prohibit Obama from closing down Guantanamo Bay or transferring any of the detainees to U.S. facilities. This is extremely terrifying because, just as a reminder, there's still 112 people held in Guantanamo right now. Only 10 of them charges before military commission. The other 102 have never been charged, even though they've been held there for some 13 years. Of the 102, 53 have been cleared for release for the past 5 years. Most of them are from Yemen, but they remain imprisoned, even though Washington admits they pose no security threat. So Obama has completely sold out the American people again, sold out human rights again. You know, but it's nothing new for him.
No, and he doesn't have a lot of time either to fulfill one of his campaign promises. You know, that was one of the big promises he made at the when he was running for office the first go around, that he was going to close Guantanamo Bay. You know, and he's, of course, he's found that a little bit harder to do than I'm sure than what he planned. Road to Guantanamo, a great movie. If you, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it actually goes through and carries the story of one of the guys who's actually been in Guantanamo Bay, and is one of the innocent who was released. And I'll be honest with you, I think it has the potential to change a lot of people's opinion, because it's a charged, you know, it's a really charged subject and an issue. You know, there's both sides have some good and some really horrible reason behind them, but you know, it's interesting to see where it's going to go. But it's definitely a campaign promise that I see him wanting to, at least.
What was the name of that documentary?
It's Road to Guantanamo, and it's not it's kind of a docudrama, but it's got the original characters, I believe, in it. You can find it on Netflix, of course. Great flick, though.
Yeah, and a lot of people forget this, but on Obama's first full day in office, he announced an executive order promising to close down Guantanamo within a year.
No, it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
It's the same as Afghanistan. The Afghanistan promise, we're going to get out of Afghanistan, and then yet he just announces, we're just going to stay here for the entire 8 years he's in office.
I think really the only way that Obama can increase his favorability ratings is pretty much, and he'll probably do it on the way out, is go ahead and give Suge Knight a pardon, throw both fingers up in the air, light a cool cigarette, and say, peace out, I'm out.
Look, Suge Knight, that's a whole different thing. I think he was involved in Tupac. I'm not positive about that, though.
I think Suge Knight was involved a lot in what was going on in the Bush administration in the early years. I
it seemed like there would have been a lot more efficient.
I have a string theory. I don't want to go into it.
It's funny you say that because Russell Simmons actually is saying that that you know, of course, you know, musicians can have a ear of the president occasionally. We've seen President Obama, you know, speak openly about some of his musical choices. And just recently, Russell Simmons, of all people, is claiming that Justin Bieber, ironically, has the ear of the president.
Wow.
He is what's popping, according to him. Saw that at the Blaze, yeah.
I don't know if
that. Can you see that? Can
no.
You
know?
Well, you know,
who's listening to Justin Bieber about anything?
Now, tensions are a little strained between the United States and Canada right now.
Right. Because
Bieber
they gave us
he is the American ambassador from Canada. I mean,
good
come
point.
On,
you're right.
He is our Canadian.
Oh,
ambassador.
That's terrifying. Let's dive into the numbers of this NDAA a little bit. So, they are spending $548 billion.
Which is what? How much less that they cut from the original provision? I think it's $5 trillion.
Well, what it is? Okay, that's for everything. That's the base Pentagon budget, excluding operations in Syria, Afghanistan, and Iraq. It is the largest of any budget since the end of the Cold War for a single year. Mm-hmm. Since the end of the Cold War, mm-hmm. That means 8 years of Bush Cheney.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall.
And they're spending more under Obama for a single year.
Mr. Trump, build that wall back up.
It's a project for a new American century. You know, you mentioned Bush and Cheney. You want to, there were some big players in that.
And Rubio's pushing for
Cheney,
that.
What's Cheney up to these days?
Not
getting a statue made of himself posted at the Capitol. Did you see that?
Genie.
I really thought that was the Onion title. It was not.
It unfortunately is real. So on top of this, $548 billion, again, a larger single-year budget than any year for the Pentagon since the end of the Cold War. On top of that is another $50.9 billion for overseas contingency operations, and that will help fund Afghanistan, Syria, and elsewhere. That's actually down from last year, even though they're spending way more in the actual Pentagon budget. But again, that brings everything to a grand total, $607 billion, starting on October 1st, running
next
year.
The Senate, 91-3.
Bernie Sanders voted against it. Ron Wyden voted against it, one of the three. Some of the more popular names. Ted Cruz did not vote. Rand Paul did not vote.
They were busy.
Lindsey Graham did not vote, which we know how he would have voted.
He was hanging with his boyfriend.
He would have.
That's crazy of Rand, who just had such a much better showing at the last debate with his little exchange between him and Rubio concerning military spending. And you'd expect that, you know, on the heels of his such a good job, that he'd at least be able to show up to the vote and show that, hey, I was at least one of the four members that actually voted against that. But
well, Rubio didn't vote, but he doesn't vote anymore anyway.
He doesn't show up.
He doesn't even.
That stuff counts when you're, like, you know,
running
for
all
yeah,
people.
Makes
all
no difference.
Back to haunt you, you know, your voting record.
I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and jump to a caller right now. Area code 602. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you're calling from this evening.
Taylor from Phoenix. Really, man, I was just calling to listen more so than anything. I don't know any other means to listen to your show.
You can actually catch us live at www.ucy.tv/TAMR every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. And you can also catch all of our replays on YouTube at ucy.tv, or you can search for Anti-Media Radio. So, for anybody that wants to listen to the show, please, I'll wait every Monday through Friday, same time,
that you're listening to us right now, and you can catch all the replays on YouTube.
And if you want to complain about what we're talking about, then give us a call and we'll talk about it. Come on.
Hell yeah.
I ain't got nothing but the love in my heart.
So, yeah, 91-3. And yeah, we're talking...
There's a landslide and then there's that, you know.
You got to give it to Bernie on this one. He voted against it. You know, I don't have to agree with him on everything.
Your mouth is,
yeah, I don't have to agree with him on everything, but when he does something right, I will definitely applaud anybody that does that.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction. Now, well, again, if he's lucky enough to actually get to the big boy table, come.
Well, he won't.
But he doesn't take corporate money, though, right?
Well. That's the claim.
That's the
story that we're here.
That's the baby
got packed.
Speaking of,
well, that's not Bernie, but still, Rubio.
It's Rubio. Yeah. The baby got packed. Marco Rubio Super PAC is sadly all too real, not the Onion. Yeah, please Google it because that's terrifying. But speaking of corporations, this NDAA provides $5.7 billion for the Air Force to buy another 44 F-35 Joint Strike Fighters from Lockheed Martin, continuing the most expensive arms acquisition program in U.S. history. Hooray. So we know that Lockheed Martin's going to get their cut every single year. This is no different. The Navy is moving ahead with the program. They're building 12 new nuclear missile firing submarines at the cost of $6 billion each.
So that's all have those new cool lands. The
G.I. Joe, the red and the blue.
Yeah.
When are we going to do that? So we'll know who the good and bad guys are.
I can't believe we made it this far into the broadcast and not brought up Cobra Commander for president. That's the thing. Check it out on Facebook. I liked it. That was actually at the request of Justin King, and then you had to get involved, so I have to be involved, and I got to do what everybody else is doing.
Well, that's okay.
I mean, you know, Cobra Commander. I would personally like Destro.
So, I want to go ahead and throw this in here real quick. This is also a part of the NDAA. Another $300 million allocated in military aid to right-wing anti-Russian regime in Ukraine for the continued U.S. training of security forces in Ukraine. Because that's our business.
Oh,
because we need to be poking the bear, literally, at his doorstep. This is different than Syria, where it's just kind of, you know, we're both just happen to be in the same place at the same time. We're talking about on his doorstep.
Oh, and arguably they have a lot more reason to, obviously, to deal with this. You expect that they would take a much stronger step in, besides just using mercenaries and some of the soldiers that are on leave, so to speak. It's a mess. Vice News, Vice, of course, channel. Man, they've done a great job documenting a lot of this stuff. With their Russian Roulette series, and to me, so far, I mean, it is frightening. At the same time, it's like watching a car wreck. I think is the cliche, but you know, you almost have to keep watching. I mean, it's literally like every war documentary and drama right there in real time. It's real interesting, but you know, it's almost we forget that whole conflict is even still ongoing.
We don't think about it because it's one of those topics that, you know, is not getting shoved down your throat every day, and when it kind of goes to the back of people's minds, and then they kind of forget that it's even happening, but it's still taking place in real time, in real life. You know, just because Sean Hannity or Anderson Cooper doesn't report it, doesn't mean it's not really happening.
Right. It's probably as being more influential than not if those guys are not covering it. I wouldn't expect them to otherwise.
So Shannon, just from top to bottom here, what's your kind of overview of the NDAA?
Well, I'm actually reading it right now. I pulled the PDF off the .gov site. And more of the same. And you know, as you pick through it and start actually reading every single boring, mundane, long, drawn-out explanation of something that should be actually fairly straightforward, because you know that's how they sneak all that other stuff in on that bacon. Kevin and I were talking about before the broadcast. Bacon's delicious. More of the same. I'm in danger of just being burnt out by the whole damn thing, you know? And again, this is passed as just another mundane, don't you worry about it, this is just mom and dad.
It's hardly been reported.
We're going to spend all the bills this month, you just go on and go to bed.
It's hardly been reported on at all, and tomorrow on antimedia.org, we're going to have a big story up about it, kind of explaining everything for everybody and kind of giving them more of the details of it. But hardly anybody, even the alternative media sites, have covered this news so far. And it seems like with everything, you know, with the debates going on in Missouri and the presidential debates this week, there's been a lot of news. And of course, when there's kind of theatrical news, something like this right under you, and nobody even realizes.
Those damn red cups, man.
It's Starbucks. Pay more attention to the red cup at Starbucks, and you know, don't worry about President Obama breaking yet another promise.
Let me tell you, I just for a half a second about that stupid little Starbucks thing. That Starbucks thing was a way for Starbucks to make more money. They did it the same way that Chick-fil-A did it when suddenly, it's all about target audience. Yeah, Starbucks knows who their target audience is. It's a brand that they very carefully craft. And I'm looking at Mr. Gibson here, who used to live in Seattle, took me to the very, very first original Starbucks right there in Pike's Market. And Pike Market, am I saying it right?
Pike's Market.
You were local for a minute, so you better get this right. But, so I saw where it all went down from an auspicious little coffee, you know, little coffee house that understood their market. And the way that they all understand their market now, and this is all kind of a little full circle that I'm trying to get into, is, you know, again, all of the other various different ways that we are spending habits, where we go, who we congregate with, the way that we all, because we congregate with these people, we're likely to have our hair this way. All of that's carefully crafted. And it's to a point now where they can be more proactive with all of that information that they bought from your television, from your smartphone, from Google, from Amazon, from eBay, so on and so forth, about what you're browsing, what you're looking at, what you're wearing when you're looking at your phone, where you happen to be at that moment. Are you shopping? Are you at church? Are you at the office? All of this information is dissected and sold. So what? It's dissected and sold, big deal. Aren't you just a little bit disturbed by all that?
Right, yeah.
That people know that much about you, not just your name. You know, used to, we'd get all freaked out if somebody knew our social security number. We all know that we can look up each other's security number online legally. There are plenty of places to do it, and if you can't find it legally, then you go for all the rest of the information. You go to the deep, dark web. This is some scary shit. It really is. And of course, as I'm sitting here picking through the bill, and I just, every single little line item, I see a dollar here, a dollar there, you know, a couple million here, a couple billion here, you know, and for what? For what?
Got to keep America safe.
And this is what people complain, you know, when people, like for instance, you know, of course, Rubio's jab it, and I'm not trying to take up for Rand Paul in all aspects by any means. He's definitely not his father.
I'm going to get into that in just a second. Why? But go right ahead.
But, you know, Rubio called him a committed isolationist, I believe, but this is the kind of wasteful spending.
Rubio is a warmonger.
Oh, he is. Definitely. And Rand got him up. In my personal opinion, he raised a good point, and he put it in words simple enough that you're not a anti-war person. You don't hate the military just because you want to see resources spent correctly. Was it $43 million that went to this gas station? I actually had hoped that
in Afghanistan,
right, that the U.S. is funding or built. You know, I was really hoping this would have been a good thing for Rand to have mentioned. That's the kind of wasteful spending. And we're not talking about taking soldiers' guns and telling these guys to show up with your own rifles. We're not doing that for sake of spending or saving money, but. You know, it's ridiculous that you can't criticize the wasteful spending and you can actually can to an extent on a lot of subjects with a lot of conservatives and libertarian types. But when it comes to military spending, it's the worst. Yeah. You're the devil.
Oh, you can't bring it up. You can't say you want to cut a single dollar budget or you're anti-American. And that's how these warmongers sell it. And they use the fear tactics to ram it down people's throats. And we're not even talking about cutting money. We're talking about if you cut from the percentage they're supposed to, you know, spend extra the next year. If you want to cut that, you're cutting money. You're not keeping us safe. We're spending as much as 10 countries combined, 2 through 10, to keep America quote unquote safe. They just want to throw money at the problem. That's how the United States answers things. They talk about, we have all these threats. Is Syria a threat to the United States? No.
Yeah.
Is Afghanistan a threat to the United States?
Oh, hell no.
Is Iraq a threat to the United States?
Hell no.
Then what are we doing? I'm going to go ahead and jump to a call right now. Area code 678. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you are calling from this evening. Looks like a little technical difficulty on that. But back to what we were talking about, they're not threats to us. These nations are not threats to us, so we don't have to spend more and more and more to keep us safe, quote unquote. It's all about fear and it's all about control.
It reminds me, what did Donald Rumsfeld, I don't know, realize this, the day before the 9/11 attacks, Donald Rumsfeld, of course, declared that the next war the U.S. face was going to be the war against military spending and debt. And how many is it? Some $2-3 trillion that they can't find, they can't locate. The Pentagon, you know, just says, "Hey, it went somewhere we can't tell you where. We don't know ourselves." And that's not considering the black budgets that go on there. You know, of course, off the record. But that's the reckless spending that people won't discuss when they say that. Hey, we need to cut military spending. It's not take all the tanks away. You know, and that's another argument there, considering all the equipment that we buy that sits rotting in various places just for the sake of having it good.
Or they're turned over to people like ISIS.
Oh, gosh, yeah, right.
Or Al-Qaeda, either
one.
I mean,
same
which way are we mad at now?
I'm not sure which one we're mad at this week.
I can't remember.
It's a love-hate relationship.
No, I think Al-Qaeda's good and ISIS is bad.
It's complicated.
No, it's not ISIS anymore. It's just IS. Yeah.
Right.
Is
it?
It's a lot more cases.
What is the definition of is?
I'm just going to change it to I, guess. They'll just keep abbreviating it.
But we're funding these people. Like, we're creating the enemy. Mm-hmm. And then we're funding the enemy. We're doing everything we can. We're training the enemy. While
that costs a lot of money, doesn't it?
While they're good guys.
Yeah.
While they're helping us. While they're promoting freedom. And then as soon as we need a reason to bomb somebody, oh, those people, they're bad guys. It's like, weren't we just funding these people?
I bet it costs a lot more money to after you set them up to go in there and bomb the country and go and have a military campaign, right? But who would profit off something like that?
Well, you know, once long ago, the Pentagon, of course, admitted that basically that they're aware that ISIS or a caliphate was going to rise out of their intervention in Syria, but they want to see Assad gone. And you know, it's kind of
remiss. No, that's not
Assad. That's right. I meant they want to see him just take
a move. ISIS.
But that's what they're after, you know.
ISIS, yeah.
And that's something that even when you have these politicians say we need Assad gone and we need Assad gone, there's never any plan of what's going to happen afterwards. We just got through with this in Iraq. We've got Saddam Hussein's got to go. He's got to go. Like, that has to happen now. So it happened. They got their wish. And what happened? It was chaos. And then a power vacuum created ISIS, which we helped push through financially, and weapons just sitting around. Same thing's going to happen in Syria. The same exact thing's going to happen in Syria.
Well, you know, we're already seeing a lot of it. You know, look at all the migrant situation, you know, the people that are fleeing Syria, you know, and understandably, I can see the argument from the people that live in those respective countries when their towns are being quote unquote flooded. You know, we saw what I think 750 some odd migrants were moved and bussed into a small town of like 150 people. So I can see that argument, but at the same time, you know, the U.S. and the West has a lot of the responsibility for forcibly driving these people out. I mean, who can blame them? I mean, could you or I? I'm sure.
Well, we're going to take. No. We're going to take in some immigrants at some point in time, right?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Well, like sure.
They better hurry up and get here before Trump builds that wall.
Oh jeez.
But maybe they can help build the wall.
But the theater.
He's going to arrange that.
Huh? Well, I mean, you know, yeah.
He can negotiate that.
You want to stay in this country? Get to work.
Yeah, how does that work? He's going to make Mexico pay for this wall, but we're talking about immigrants from the Middle East coming over.
A wall that will undoubtedly be built by illegal.
So will they still be able to get in? Or?
He knows, man.
He hasn't.
Most of them go through tunnels anyway.
Yeah. It won't affect anybody. More Trump's not going to be the president, I don't think. It's going to be Rubio, I'm telling you.
You know, Rand got it good on that China, mentioning that China was not a part of the TPP. I think Donald
Trump. I'm astounded that they let Rand talk at all.
Yeah, I am too. He did it, you know, but, and again, I hate to give him credit, but that Fox debate had a whole different tone.
Here's my problem with Rand, and this is the, it didn't really settle with me until I actually went back and, after our broadcast the other night, we kind of were going back through what we had seen and some of the things we missed while we were trying to prepare for the show. And one thing that Rand brought up every single time he spoke was about the Republican Party, about the division between Democrats and Republicans, and a lot of that divisive
kind of language.
Yeah. Very.
It was very pro-Republican Party.
Very. I mean, he was a cheerleader for the Republican Party, and I never would have thought, and we all know why he's doing it, the same reason his father decided to run as a Republican when he clearly wasn't.
But even when Ron ran as a Republican, it wasn't like he was out there saying anything nice about him.
No. Republican is the hot brand right now. That's all that the cool kids are wearing right now. They're wearing Republican. They're wearing GOP. We're going to vote GOP. We got a GOP Senate. We need to get a GOP president. We need to get GOP.
See these boxers here? GOP.
You know, I don't understand. When did the flat tax, which a lot of folks are in favor for, become a talking point for the GOP?
But look, it's campaign talking points. It's nothing that's going to actually happen.
I mean, is that something that's just popping up in a pub? Well, of course, we know it's not going to happen. Anybody that goes and tries to fool with that, well, Texas.
Well, Rubio's not mentioning it, and Rubio's going to be your next emperor, so.
No, yeah, he's ready for war right now.
That guy disgusts me all the way.
I think what was it? $1 trillion.
And he's it's a PR job, and he's not even a good PR guy.
No, he's really not.
They can come up with somebody better than that.
$20 says that him and Dick Cheney are Facebook friends.
Oh, guarantee.
I'd be curious if the same guy that came up that's running his that angle of his campaign is the same guy that came up with a little promo, a little commercial he ran before the last debates about playing fantasy football. You know, that's what they were alluding to when fantasy league football got brought up. I think Jeb and they got into taxing it, but it was the dumbest commercial that I have ever seen from a politician that had no point whatsoever. I mean, just so far out in left field. Even my wife looks at me like, "What was that about?" I said, "I couldn't tell you, but I know the debates are coming on." Such a disconnect completely that just made you question how much money could have possibly be thrown at that just right down the drain.
Well, it was probably paid for by Baby Got Pack.
Baby Got Pack.
He is an out-of-the-closet, warmongering neocon.
Yeah, absolutely.
A new American century.
Thank you.
This is what he tells people he wants. Look up Project for New American Century if you don't know what that is.
It's
Friday, too.
Search things on my internet.
Dick Cheney. Donald Rumsfeld. Good people. That's what we're going to get with Rubio. That's what we're going to get.
Unfortunately, we're probably going to get that with any candidate. We're looking, we're surrounded by wars. I think that's going to be something that we're always going to be dealing with. And it may just quite possibly be what bankrupts this country ultimately, along with everything else.
Hillary Clinton's a neocon. Hillary Clinton is a neocon just as much as Marco Rubio.
Agreed.
Except Hillary Clinton's not going to be the next president of the United States.
No.
She may be one of those, like the one of that previous candidate that's the story is something the anti-media actually posted a link to it about the candidate who actually ran for office in jail. And actually received a lot of votes because it sounds like the FBI is getting a little more serious about her campaign, about looking into her all of her corruption.
Come on, man. You know how hard it will look there.
Oh, right.
I'm talking about Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know.
I mean, there's connected politicians or influential politicians, this, that, and the other. And then there's freaking Hillary Clinton. Come on.
Oh, man. Right. Well, I certainly don't expect her to be in chains. But I'm surprised that the FBI is even taking it up.
I mean, do you realize how depraved that woman is? She stayed with Bill.
Oh, she's horrible. Oh, and she jokes about his infidelity from time to time on national television.
Well, she should. The joke was clearly on us. I mean, we knew.
Sadly, it is every 4 years at this point.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you kind of hinted on a little bit, we brought it up as one of the stories at the top of the show. A new troubling report by ProPublica reveals that Vizio smart TVs track what we view, and they report that information in a form that allows advertisers to then directly reach us on other devices. The system is called Smart Interactivity, and here's how it works. You watch a Vizio Smart TV. The company assesses samples of what you're viewing to note the date, time, content, and channel as your IP address. Vizio partners with data brokers to link your IP address with your age, gender, income, and interest. The new enhanced data is given to advertisers who track all devices associated with that IP address. Hooray.
And it's not, you know, in this case, it's not the government. You know, this is the quote-unquote, the private industry.
This is the private sector spying on you, and that goes back to what we saw pass with the Freedom Act.
Here's a quick tip for all the listeners. What are you using? What's your operating? You're using, I see an Apple on your computer there. You're using an Apple computer, right? What do you use with the house?
Whatever I use.
With you're a Windows guy?
Man, it's just enough to get by to play Oregon Trail.
Yeah, fair enough. So. You do, but what do you do? You're online with phone?
A lot of my smartphone, my iPad.
Yeah. I do, I got Linux. Okay.
My wife just got that installed on her Mac.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Linux, yeah. Get rid of all that nasty crap on your computer. Go get you Linux. Get educated. Get with somebody who knows a little bit about Linux. Look it up. It is truly amazing. Now, I'm not saying that Linux is the end-all, be-all, but it is one more hurdle that they're definitely not going to see coming when they go to try to obtain that information. But if you're plugged into the cable, flipping through DirecTV, whatever the case may be, every single bit of that information is being gathered and sold.
But my wife brought it to me yesterday. She said, hey, you know, listen to this. The previous day we had gone to, we had just stopped in some little store and bought some bread. She's a little particular about some of the bread that she eats. So she grabbed a particular type of bread, paid with her credit card. Yesterday afternoon, what's the one of the first thing that comes up on Facebook when she finally logged on, or she even got logged on? You know, everybody stays. You never log off of Facebook now. It's like the majors. But what was there? An ad for the same type of bread she had just bought.
We have talked about
this.
Tell you,
for bread.
I have told
a $2 loaf of bread.
I have told this story a few times. This is when we first noticed it. I was out in San Diego with Nick at Anti-Media Headquarters, and we were talking about going to see a San Diego Padres game. We had looked nothing up on a computer. We had done nothing. There had been no ads for anything about the Padres. We mentioned it. We talked about it. Nothing was typing to a computer. Within 10 minutes, there were ads coming up for Padres games.
Boom, boom. There's no telling how many microphones literally are around. You know, if they can get by.
Oh, I see one, two, three, four.
Well, I mean, just walking around on the street corner besides yourself.
I don't use a computer at home. I have my computer that has Linux. I don't use it for surfing the internet, or very rarely will I use it for surfing the internet. I've got a lot of the Linux programs like Kodi and stuff like that to pull up, you know, whatever I want to watch. Because usually I like older movies, TV shows, things like that. I rarely watch broadcast television. I don't watch them. That being said, that's all, I have my smartphone. That's it. And I've had the very same thing. We talked about this on the show. Had the very same thing come up. I have just a random conversation with a friend. And next thing you know, I pull up Facebook, and there's a bit of that random conversation suddenly showing up in all the advertisements that I see. And not only that, but the algorithm for Facebook changes slightly, so you may actually see one or two people that are talking about that same random subject just pop up on your news feed. Everybody that's listening to this, look this up. This is not bullshit, and this is not your typical tinfoil hat conspiracy shit. Try it sometimes. It's true. And there's been more than several people that I've talked to, not only just on the show with anti-media, but just people just generally talking. You know, that's kind of weird. I was talking to so-and-so about such-and-such, and I opened up Facebook, and there it is all over Facebook. Weird.
All right. Well,
it's not weird because you need to go back and look at your little privacy statement that you signed up when you got Facebook loaded onto your phone and when you got your Facebook account, so on and so forth. Facebook owns your ass now. The only way that you can get away from Facebook is completely get away from Facebook. Completely take it off your phone, root your phone, and get every single app off of it and never log into it again.
I want to make this point real quick. Consumers, especially with the Vizio topic, consumers may believe that they are legally protected from their information being sold to advertisers.
Your Fourth Amendment rights are gone.
However, the Video Privacy Protection Act, according to Vizio, does not apply to its news system. This is how they describe it. Non-personal identifiable information may be shared with select partners to permit these companies to make, for example, better informed decisions regarding content production, programming, and advertising.
So, which sounds great until you realize that the next version of this is going to be amended so that they will be required to notify the authorities if they suspect that whatever their information they're procuring would lead them to believe you're a criminal.
Of course, they can already turn it over now. We just saw the federal judge, you know, overturn the NSA spying apparatus, and now it's unconstitutional. But we all know how that's going to play out. It's going to play out on the surface. It's going to play out that it's going to the private companies. And the private companies, via the Freedom Act, are going to be able to turn all this information over to the government.
If that's not textbook fascism, or the big aspect of it. You know.
It's ironic because we hear so many Americans, especially when you're talking about, you know, whether it's Obama or Hillary or Bernie Sanders, you get so many, especially in the South. You may not get it as much outside of the South. But
socialist,
communist, just over and over. They're coming to get us, them socialists and them communists. They're going to get us. But we never hear people call out the fascism in this country, which is running rampant, controlled by the corporations.
I think most people don't really, at least our age, don't understand, don't even know what fascism is. You know, most people probably can't explain to you what free market capitalism is or socialism is. You know, I say it's probably a little of exaggeration, but you don't hear fascism is not in our lexicon daily or ever so. And of course, with socialism, now we hear it from so many people that it's a buzzword. It's been a buzzword for a while.
Well, fascists, that's the people that might report on dresses and stuff like that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
The e-fascist network.
Yeah. Joan Rivers, she was a fascist.
She was. She was a fascist expert.
She was one of the worst fascists ever. Yeah.
Oh, and Do you think maybe that's why she was allegedly killed on purpose? Murdered?
The Joan Rivers conspiracy. Let's not go there tonight. Right. No, there's no sense of going there tonight.
No.
Oh, geez. Gonna walk out!
But that is a huge problem that we deal with. We don't talk about the Bushes being fascist. We don't talk about the oligarchy in this country that Jimmy Carter's completely called out.
And Yale University, you know, was it Princeton or Yale? One of the Princeton had a big study done, and they, you know, they concluded that the U.S. is in fact an oligarchy.
It is. Speaking of oligarchies, we are joined on the line right now by Mr. Nick Burnaby. Nick, how's it going?
Well, I'm doing well, man. I'm just listening to your show. Great show so far. Just wanted to call and chime in. I got some free time for once. So I'm just here for the ride, man. Go ahead and continue, and I'll chime in when I feel compelled. I'm kind of a little bit out of the loop here because we got a 45-second delay, but go ahead.
I tell you what, while we got you on the line, the biggest news, and we've hit on it here, the NDAA, what's your takeaway on this?
The NDAA, well, Obama vetoed it recently. What was it, like 2 weeks ago? He vetoed it, and he sent it back to the Republicans and said, hey, make it bigger. You know that? You know, that's what Obama did. He vetoed it, and we're like, you know, I'm kind of like, oh, well, Obama vetoed this thing, and then I saw his reasoning behind it. Like, he wants it bigger. He wants a bigger budget for the military and for, you know, all these expenses and the debt ceiling. He's kind of tying it in with that. Man, the NDAA, it's just, it's the blank check for the empire, basically, and it also has repercussions here at home because we all know about the indefinite detention provisions and those kind of things. The NDAA is just a blank check for the empire, dude, and they want more money. That's why Obama sent it back. Give me more.
That's exactly what it is. We mentioned the stat earlier in the show. This is the largest budget for the Pentagon for any year since the end of the Cold War. That's terrifying.
But the Republicans say Obama's a dove. Obama's not strong enough. Isn't that, you know, what it is? I mean, God, dude, the rhetoric out there is so Orwellian. They're like saying Obama is so weak on foreign policy. But like you say, he's spending more money on military expenditures than any president since the Cold War. I mean, what the hell are they talking about?
Because they want somebody like Rubio that's going to come in and add an extra $1 trillion to the military budget.
Yeah, of course, and you know, Rubio wants to cut it from welfare and cut it from all these social safety net programs and stuff, and I come from more of the Ron Paul school of government where it's like, cut the military spending first, keep the safety nets in place, cut the military, end the empire, keep the safety nets in place. Once we end the empire, then we deal with, you know, all these other, you know, welfare reform and all that other stuff that needs to come. You know, obviously there's issues with those things, Social Security, Medicare, all that stuff has big-time problems, you know, on the verge of bankruptcy. But the reason it's going bankrupt is because they're spending all this money overseas, trillions.
$607 billion will be spent over the next year thanks to the NDAA, which will be signed, according to the White House, should be signed by Obama anytime now.
The warfare state is definitely a lot more, and that's something I had to learn in my political evolution, so to speak, was that the military, you know, you guys you're nailing it. It just, you know, the social, the welfare state, which is bad, but Ron's got it right. And Nick, you know, you made the same mention. The military, the warfare state is much more detrimental to our debt, to our national debt, than the welfare state could ever be.
Just the amount of money that's spent. I mean, we are broke.
Oh, definitely.
We're broke. And it's one thing.
No, broke is when you have nothing. We're so far beyond broke. It's not.
It's true. Point. It's when we talk to, you know, that's the one thing when we talk to John McAfee, he kept harping on and on and on and on about. No matter what we brought up, whether it was going to war, whether it was Planned Parenthood, whatever the topic was, he's like, why are we doing that? We're broke.
Yeah.
We have no more money. That's stupid.
In debt, we've spent now right at $50 million just in interest. Is it $1 million a day, I think, or is it $1 million an hour? I know Rand had pointed that out in his in the debate, and I think he did a great job of nailing Rubio on this. This is going to be what brings us down, is the debt. It's not going to be a foreign invader. It's going to be our national defense. And then you want to talk about threats to the homeland from outside invaders? Watch when your economic system collapses and then see who takes advantage of it.
And I think, you know, that's where a lot of the whole China argument comes in, because, you know, they are they do have a lot of our debt. I think the most important thing for me, as far as the national security issue and the money, does go back to something. One of the things Rand Paul did say the other night, I was like, he's 100% right, is your country, you know, you can't be safe if you're in bankruptcy court. You can't be fighting terrorists from bankruptcy court.
It's a shame he has to explain that, too, and to explain it in that term.
And but you know what? He's never, ever, 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 ever going to win the presidency, ever. It's never going to happen. So it really doesn't matter what he's up there to say a few good things and then a few bad things and take it for what it is, and then he's going to be on his way, and it's not going to make any difference to the American people.
And I can't.
He's not his dad.
I can't. I can't support him because of the fact that he's still clinging to that little bit of division for whatever.
That's it.
Let it.
When he talks,
Republican handlers know that. Look, I'm a legit candidate. If you go and put me in there, I'll play up the party line.
Yeah,
which means that all of these great, beautiful, wonderful ideas, just like what Obama had when he was stumping for office,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly Guantanamo Bay still up.
We're still in Afghanistan, and then
let's say Rand Paul does get an office, and the Fed will not be audited.
But you're 100% right about that. That him and his rhetoric of just Republican Party, this Republican Party, that's you know,
that's my red flag, and that's a huge, massive red mm-hmm. flag, and it should be because
we have to get past the two-party system. We have to,
absolutely.
And when you have somebody like, you know, Ron that ran as a Republican, he was bad-mouthing the Republicans probably more so than he was the Democrats, and you don't find Rand Paul doing that.
It was obvious to everybody involved. Anybody that knew anything knew that Ron Paul was not a Republican, or if in anything, he was not a present-day Republican.
Well, and that just gets to show you that Ron sat him down when he was going to run for president this year and said, look, let me
I just
that
hey, I
want to something really quick.
I want to interject into this, man. And to me, it in the last debate with Rand, and he made so many great points on foreign policy and economics and things, like, it's so much easier to like support the statements of these guys when we know they're not going to win.
It's very true. Yeah, very true.
Because we all know that if they did win, just like when Obama came into office on his awesome rhetoric and all this stuff, but we know what happens when they win. They turn into what Obama turned into, which was George Bush 3.0.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the same thing that would happen if Rand Paul were to win or Bernie Sanders were to win. We know that's not going to happen, but if they did, it'd be a total letdown. But knowing that these guys aren't going to win, it's a lot easier to say, yeah, I like what he said, and he made a lot of sense on that.
I think you make a great point, because I personally don't feel threatened by any of most of the candidates, because I know they're never going to win. The problem is when you get a candidate you know is not going to win, and you still think they're crazy, like just completely.
Well, John Kasich.
Hey!
I need to interrupt right now. It's my turn to speak. It's my turn to speak now.
Right out of the bat, yelling
like Carly Fiorina.
Like Carly Fiorina.
Hey, don't
he
talk
is
about my baby now.
Crazy, like insane.
Why is she interrupting? Why does she keep interrupting? Trump actually got a little bit of negative, a couple of boos. I was a little surprised.
Well, I mean, because it was a woman.
It was obvious.
You know,
right? But we're in a Republican crowd.
How he feels about ribs.
What if they would have said it to Lindsey Graham, though?
Don't tell.
Oh, jeez.
I wish he'd just come out. I really would.
I really do. Awesome. In all seriousness, I think it would be good for the Republican Party.
I think it would be awesome for the Republican Party.
It probably would.
It's horrible. If we're talking about coming out, I think
it would be a great political move for
it. It wouldn't be great for the LGBT. I mean, who would
it's
really
like, see, want to they could say we're accepting. It would work. It would work. It'd be a great idea. We've had this guy for years.
Well, hey, man, I hate to say it, dude, but this is exactly the role that Rubio's playing, man. Rubio is that guy that's like, hey, look, we got a Republican guy that's a Latino, and we're not racist anymore. And, you know, this guy is going to carry on. He's going to make Obama look like a dove. He's going to make Bush look like a fool. I mean, this guy, Rubio, is the single most dangerous candidate that we've seen in American politics, I think, in our generation. Rubio is going to be the next president from every indication that I can see, and he is probably going to be the guy that starts World War III. You know, and he is the single most dangerous guy out there, and he is getting a complete pass. I saw an article this morning on the Washington Post about how all the other candidates won't even challenge him for anything. They won't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nick. I wanted to give you the proper theme music there.
But we both know, Nick, we've talked about this so many times. Me and Shannon have talked about this on the show. Rubio's going to be the president. That's how transparent this has become.
Like, we've already seen receipts, and, I mean, it's already bought and paid for.
Yeah,
it's a matter of time before we watch it all unfold before our eyes.
Well, Jeb, and a lot of this, you know, I'm sure, how much money, Jeb's campaign announced they were going to swarm his packs, apparently, I guess. So they were ready to take down.
Jeb's there, though, to make Rubio look better because they're going to say, look at this crazy warmonger in Bush. Oh, we don't have that again. But we've got somebody that's kind of like those people, but not those people, so you can trust him because he has a different last name.
And he's a little brown, too.
Yeah. With a fancy
hair. Exactly. And that gives him so much more electability. I mean, he'll make Hillary Clinton look like a horrible old white person. I mean, she is, by the way. But Rubio's a perfect candidate. And if you saw the exchange between Rubio and Rand Paul in the debate regarding foreign policy and defense spending, you know, Rubio's really able to pull off that, hey, look, Obama is gutting the military by supplying them with the largest budget we've ever seen since the Cold War. Obama, at the same time, he's able to pull it off. Obama's gutting the military.
What would the military look like if he's gutting it?
And he's saying that, I'm going to make sure America has the strongest military in the world. Like, yeah, dude, we have it by like 20 times bigger than the next largest country. You know what I'm saying?
He's a smooth operator, man. He really is. My wife, who's Latina, actually brought up the same issue. It's Rubio and somebody, I think he mentioned his Cuban descent. My wife, you know, was a little surprised to hear that, but she made the comment too that, well, there goes some of their grasp or their attempt to get some of the Latino vote. What a shame to any racial proper organization or group whatsoever that to have Rubio, in my opinion.
I've noticed this with a lot of the candidates this year, too. You know, we had Hillary make the statement about, you know, being the first woman president, making history or this, that, and the other. We've had other candidates bring up parts of their backgrounds that, you know, that's the one little quirk that solidifies them and separates them from the pack. Not just, you know, ideology or actual, like, real, you know, real plans and real goals. Just the fact that I'm a little bit different than some of these other folks, and that's gonna galvanize some people to just vote for Hillary just because, you know, well, okay, well, she's running as a Democrat, and she's a woman. I have to vote for her because she's a Democrat and woman.
If she was 20 years younger, that argument would fly, but she's been around way too long. There's way too much baggage.
It's all under her eyes.
That is exactly what I was waiting on.
Yeah, she's tired. She needs to go out at night.
She thinks that politically she has the political rhetoric and fluency of her husband, and she does not.
And her, you know what's bad too, is her daughter's coming right up behind her.
You think she'll run?
At some point, yeah. Probably. I mean, look at the sense of entitlement. Certainly it didn't escape her.
You know, I'm not going to hate on Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea's, she got her own thing cooking. She's like married with kids now, right?
Well, there'll be at some point she'll need something exciting to do.
Yeah.
And she can come out and say, see, I was the, I'm a mother with kids, and I'm not my mother's daughter, but I am my mother's daughter.
Well, I don't think she's her father's daughter either.
That's a good possibility.
Well, that is going to do it for tonight. Thank you so much, Nick, for calling in. Join him next Monday for Shannon, Kevin, Anti-Media Radio. This is SM Gibson. Anti-Media Radio out.
Later, Gators.
I'ma let him know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.